Hello, Fair Haven Church. Great to see all of you. Thank you for being here. I want to welcome our campuses. In fact, we've been doing this all day long. Would you help me by applaud? Would you just thank our Springboro campus and our Northmont campus? And for those of you that are Springboro at Northmont, would you affirm us here? Because we are one church in three locations. So just help me welcome all of our campuses that join us here right now. Would you do that? Easter was an incredible weekend for us here at Fair Haven, and the great thing about it was that we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that made commitments, and so their lives are different, their eternities are different, and that's a really exciting thing. Yeah, you can clap for that. And I want to also say that if you served in any capacity, whether you stood in a hallway and just looked dazed, or if you handed out bulletins, or if you said hello, or out in the parking lot, or in the nursery, or in any capacity at all, I just want to show you the number of people it takes in all of our campuses. So if you helped in any way for 1 hour or even 15 minutes, would you stand? We just want to say thank you for helping Easter to be an amazing week for all of our people. Just look around. Thank you. Give them a big round of applause. Come on. Thank you so much, all of you and all of our campuses who really just sacrificed, and we just had really, really great. So if you're here and this is your second week with us, we are really honored that you would find your way back to Fair Haven Church, especially as we start a brand new series. One announcement I want to make, however, is that we're very excited that we have partnered with an organization called Right Now Media. And I think the best way I could describe it to you would be that they are the Netflix of church. In other words, there are books and resources, there are movies that you could watch for your kids. It's all, you know, related to spiritual things, and so it's really a great resource. We've partnered with them, we've talked with them for quite a long time, and if we have your email address here at Fair Haven Church, you will either got a message today or have gotten a message or will get a message, email message from us, where you can just go up and sign up for that and register. It is free of charge, so that your kids, you know, can watch VeggieTales and all kinds of great things. As families, you can use that resource. The truth is, we've given your kids announcements about it. We handed them a piece of paper. So if you have kids, they already know about it because we're so smart that we know that if we get it to your kids, you get it. So we've given it to all of our kids. And if you are not on our mailing list, we promise not to hassle you. We promise not to barrage you. You can either give us the email or you can just stop by the welcome desk at any one of our locations, and we'd be happy to give you a sheet of paper that explains. You can actually go right on the front page of the website, and it's right there in the bottom left. Just click Right Now Media, and all that resource is just available for you. We want to make sure that we provide all kinds of resources for you. Well, welcome to week one of a series that we're very, very excited about. I'm very excited about. At the same time, I got to be honest with you, I am nervous as all get out because there's questions that we cannot answer about heaven. I think you understand that, right? And yet we're going to try to look into Scripture and we're going to look into the Bible and see if we can answer as many questions as possible. And that's why this series is 7 weeks long on the subject of heaven and on the subject of what heaven would be like. And so thank you for coming at the beginning. I really encourage you to be here all 7 weeks as we will be addressing different questions each and every time. You know, when I grew up, I often would hear this phrase. People would say to me, you know, if you're so heavenly minded, then you're no, help me out if you know it, then you're no earthly good. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but I heard that all the time as a kid. You know, that if you're so spiritually minded and, you know, and if you live your life, you know, as if heaven is right around the corner, then you're just absolutely no earthly good. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Bible says the complete opposite. And that is why we're doing this series. As a matter of fact, let me put it this way, because this is the principle that I want you to capture that really is the foundation, and then I'll turn to a verse in just a few minutes, which will be the foundation verse for us as we'll be looking all throughout the Bible as we go through this series talking about heaven. But this is the reason why we're doing this series, and it's this, because the most heavenly minded are the most earthly good. The most heavenly minded are the most earthly good. The more you consider heaven in your mind and in your ideas and in your thoughts, the more that we can prick your imagination, the more that we can get you to begin thinking about heaven, the more you can pull heaven and the reality of it into your life right now, the more earthly good you will be. Because you will see that your actions today matter forever. Your attitudes today will matter forever. Your relationships that you have matter to God and will impact you forever. And so the most heavenly minded are the most earthly good. And that is the one principle that we want to celebrate all 7 weeks, that as we begin thinking and asking questions about heaven, we want to make sure that you understand that as you go through this series and you begin to, your imagination will run crazy and wild, and there's a lot of things that we don't know, but there's a lot of things that we'll hear that will help us, and hopefully you'll be inspired, and maybe even today there'll be some tears as you consider some of your family and relatives and friends and siblings and children who have passed away, and you're wondering, where are they and what's heaven like and what will it be like for us? So we want to be heavenly minded so that we will be the most earthly good. That's why we're doing this series. Now, let me start out with a couple of common views of heaven. Because if I could ask every one of you in all of our campuses and locations, if I would ask you just right now to turn to the person next to you or go home this week and ask your kids or ask your spouse or ask your, you know, the girl that you came with or the guy that you came with, and maybe you have these spiritual conversations to say, you know, what is heaven like? What are the images that you have in your mind about what heaven is all about? Well, let me give you some of the most common views, believe it or not. These are the most common views that people have of heaven. Let me give you 4 of them. The most common views of heaven are, number 1, that it's an unending church service. I'm not even sure what to do with that. Because if you don't want an unending church service, what I know about you is that you're already feeling guilty, like, should I want that? I mean, I'm not sure I do want that, but should I want that? I mean, well, I'm here to tell you that there's going to be some great things. So let me tell you this. Think of the most inspirational thing that has happened, I don't know, say in the last year, in a church service that really impacted you, and take that forever. And that might be what heaven's like. Because oftentimes when we think of an unending church service, we think of somebody who talks too long or you've sat too long and, you know, it's a beautiful day out on all of our campuses and, let's get to this thing. Let's get this thing over with. You know, the guys are like 1 hour. Let's get out of here, you know. It's an unending, that's one common view. Here's another common view of heaven. They're just going to sit on a cloud doing nothing. Anybody here ever, you know, heard this view before, right? I mean, Gary Larson in his cartoons, he actually portrayed this. He portrayed a cartoon of this guy who had angels sitting on a cloud, and he's got his arms folded like this, sitting on the cloud, and the bubble, you know that little bubble, right? The cartoon, the little bubble above his head said, boy, I wish I would have brought a book. And that's his view, or that was a view of what heaven is. Well, that's not what heaven's going to be about. Here's another common view, that you're going to be walking around all day with a harp. How many of you play a harp? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high in all of our locations. We've had about 4 so far that I can think of in all of our services in all of our locations, and not many of us play a harp. It's a big instrument. It's a beautiful instrument, but I can't imagine that heaven would be that all of us have harps and we're walking around playing harps and singing to each other. I mean, that's not heaven. That's just not good. And so the common view is that we're just going to be walking around with harps. Here's another one. The common view is that, I love this. This is what Eugene Peterson says. He said, it's going to be a long, mindless weekend away from responsibilities. Heaven is not like a long weekend where you get to sit on the beach mindlessly away from your responsibilities and you just get the people watch. That's not what heaven is. Here's what I know. What I know about heaven is this. Every single one of us, if I were to interview every person on every campus, no matter if you're young or old, because the younger you are, the likelihood of you thinking about heaven is not there. The older you are, the more likely you are to think about heaven, and it has to deal with proximity in age. But the reality is, as we're thinking about heaven, here's what I know. Every one of us aches to know something about the afterlife. Every one of us wonders, is there an afterlife? Is there something after this life? And if there is, what would it be like? And is it possible for me to go there? And is it possible that I might be included? You got to stay through in these 7 weeks because we're going to talk about all of those things. It's really important. Every one of us aches for something beyond. And as I were to talk to you, and in fact, if you talk about this in your small groups or with your family or your friends, I guarantee you that everybody has at least some level of interest, and there's a curiosity or maybe an ache to wonder, what is the afterlife like? What is heaven about? See, we ache for something beyond our brokenness because we desire perfection. If you're a Christ follower, here's what I know about you. You desire perfection. Because of Jesus Christ inside of you, Jesus wants to perfect you. He wants you to be better at living for Him today than you did last month, last year, 5 years ago. And that's the process of becoming perfected. And what we want is for there to be a time when we will be perfected, when we don't have to fight with our bodies and our desires and the temptations that we might have. And so we ache for something beyond our brokenness. We ache for something beyond our sin because we desire for total freedom. And some of you are like, wait. I was here for Easter. I mean, isn't it that Jesus died for me on the cross? And because He walked away from a tomb, am I not already free from sin? The answer is yes. You are free from the penalty of sin, and that's death. But let me tell you what you and I are not free of. We're not free of the scars of sin, right? We're not free of some of the consequences that we live with today and some of the decisions that we have. And so the great thing about heaven is that we ache for this, not only for the forgiveness of sin to go away, but for the scars and for the consequences of sin to be removed from us, to have total freedom from all of that. We ache for something beyond our success. What does success mean to you? I mean, the reality is we have different levels and different definitions of that, but here's what I do know. I've talked to a lot of people who said, you know, I want to do this in my life. And for me to do this would be success in my life. And I've talked to them after they've done this. And I've said, well, how's it feel? And you know what's interesting? You can set goals in your life and you can meet them. And when you get to the very end of that and you can look at that as success, you know what's going to happen? You'll say, is there something more? There's got to be something more. And people move from success to significance in their lives. Because we ache for something beyond our success. We want to be, you know, have fulfillment. We don't want to just be bored with our lives. We want fulfillment to happen in our lives. And so we ache for this in our lives. See, this series is about us pulling heaven into our earthly lives today so that we can be the most earthly good. Here's the verse that caught my attention. As soon as I read this, I thought, you know, man, we've got to do a series on this. And what greater time to do it than after Easter? And I'll show you why. It's found in Colossians chapter 3. You don't need to turn your Bibles there. This is the foundation verse. If you came at Easter, you know that I put scripture on the screen for Easter, but I never put scripture on the screen because I want you to have your Bibles. I want you to hold your Bibles. I want you to, you know, ask your friends to slip over and so that you can read them together. And we'll turn to a place in just a minute. But Colossians chapter 3 says this. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ. What a great series after Easter, right? When we talked about the resurrection and how we can have life because of Jesus giving power over death. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights. Set your sights. Three words. Set your sights. Let's say these three words in all of our campuses and venues. Say it out loud, because if you get these three words, you will get the reason why we're doing this whole series, the whole reason why we want to be the most earthly good as we become heavenly minded here. So let's say it together. Three words. Here we go. Ready? Set your sights. One more time. All of our campuses, everyone here together. Let's do it. Here we go. Set your sights. Because we have new life, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Did you know that these three words, set your sights, is really only one word in the original language? It's a Greek word, and it means for you to crave, or for there to be an ongoing quest in your life for the realities of heaven. You know, the discussion of heaven and the desire to know things about heaven and the realities of heaven are something that you and I ought to crave, and in fact, we ought to be on this quest to find out about it. Because Paul says, when you have new life with Christ, you better set your sights, you better have a craving, you better have an ongoing quest for the realities of heaven where Christ is right now. That's what we ought to do as we go through this series. And so that's what we're going to do. In fact, let me show you. In the Bible, Jesus mentions heaven 77 times. Did you know that? Mostly in Matthew. And when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can read in there that Jesus mentions some word or something that goes all the way back to the original language that refers to heaven. 77 times, Jesus mentions the word heaven. The Bible actually begins and ends with heaven. Let's try it out. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Many of you know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In just a few minutes, we're actually going to turn to the end of the Bible, and we'll see here that we get a vision, we get a picture, we get an idea of what heaven is. And we're going to turn there in just a few minutes. A couple of other things about heaven. 54 out of the 66 books in the Bible mention heaven. So when you think about the books that you have in your hand, the Bible, the device that you have, the compilation of all those old manuscripts that men wrote, and as they wrote them together and put them together, and as we put them together, they become the Bible for us, 54 out of 66 of them mention heaven. Probably a pretty important subject matter, right? Here's what I think is the most interesting thing, that when you read about heaven and you study about heaven and you pull heaven into your reality today so that you are the most earthly good, here's what happens. A proper view of heaven dissolves and neutralizes fear and hopelessness. How many of you, when you watch the news and you hear things about the Middle East and you hear things about nations around the world, you hear things about beheadings that are going on, you hear about Christians being persecuted in places all over the world, and how many of you have just a little nervousness about all of that? Let me just see here. Just raise them up high. Let me just make sure I'm talking to the right audience in all of our campuses, right? Look around. That's most of us. Here's the great news. When we begin to think and we begin to prick our imagination and we begin to talk about heaven, here's what it does. It dissolves fear about the current events. Because you know what? God is going to solve it all. God is involved, and there's going to be a day when we're going to be with Him forever, and all of this is going away, and He's going to solve the problems. And so you see, it begins to dissolve the fear. It begins to neutralize hopelessness of the misery that we have, because so many of us, we deal with situations and circumstances, and all of a sudden life just hits you, right? And see, talking about heaven can neutralize hopelessness because it goes beyond. So take your Bibles and let's do this. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Hope you have a Bible that you brought with you. If not, there's some Bibles around you. And in fact, if you don't have one, we'll be glad to give you one. We gave many, many away at Easter, and we'd love to give you a Bible. If you're single, this is your opportunity. Scoot over to somebody and and read on with them, because we would love for you to read with me as I'm going to be reading Revelation chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 1, and then we're going to go all the way through Revelation chapter 22 to verse 5. But here's what I want to tell you in advance. Homework for you as we go through the series. I'm not going to read all of these verses. I'm going to read some of them. You need to go home this week. I really encourage you in all of our campuses, and for those of you that are online with us, this week sometime, read all these verses, all of chapter 21, and then at least the first five verses of Revelation chapter 22. So let's go to the very end for a minute, and then let me come back and we'll read chapter 21. So flip over to chapter 22 and go all the way to verse 5, and it ends this way. Verse 5, and they, that's all of us, and they will reign for, what does it say, church? Forever and ever. Have you ever laid in bed at night and just looked up at the ceiling and wondered, how long is forever? I remember as a kid thinking, how long is forever? And your mind begins to just short circuit. I mean, smoke comes off your head, right? Because you're like, well, forever is... it's forever. And how do you put your arms around that? It's really hard. So let's read it. Revelation chapter 21. Let me start with verse 1. Here's what it says. Then I saw. This is John speaking. If you didn't know, John is the author of Revelation. John had a vision and was visited in chapter 1, and it says he wrote all these things. John was an eyewitness to Jesus. John saw it all. We talked about this last week at Easter. And John is older now. He's not senile. He's not, you know, losing his memory. He's on an island by himself. He was, you know, excluded. And here he is. He's writing down what he sees. It's no different than in Acts chapter 7, where we see Stephen, who was being stoned to death. And it says in Acts 7 that the heavens opened up and Stephen got a glimpse of heaven. You can go to 2 Kings and read that Elisha's servant had a glimpse of heaven. And if you're skeptical at all or curious at all, when you read books or hear stories about people going and seeing heaven and seeing a vision, I'm skeptical as well. But here's the deal. We get to have a glimpse. We get to open it up a little bit and we get to see this picture of heaven. John said, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven. Really? There's a new heaven? What's your perspective of heaven now? We'll talk about that. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. How many of you like to fish? Can I just see your hand? Just raise them up high. Those of you that are fishermen or fisherwomen, I mean, you love to fish. I mean, read verse 1. I mean, that's bad news for you, right? I mean, see, I don't call it fishing. I call it waiting. I'm not very good at it. And the good news is that in chapter 22, as we read here, there will be rivers in heaven. It says here there's no sea, but there'll be rivers. And what I'm going to love about heaven is that when I go fishing in heaven, I'm going to catch a fish. Right? I'm going to catch a fish. It's like put the pole in and you catch it. Ever go to one of those farms where you catch a fish? It's not going to be waiting any longer. It's fishing. Verse 2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He was seated on the throne and said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, John said, in quote, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. And then in verse 8, he describes the opposite of heaven, and we'll get to that like in week 4 or 5, because that's really important as well. We're going to read on in these verses in just a few minutes, but as we're going here and we're looking at the beginning verses of Revelation chapter 21, here's the questions I want to answer for you. What is heaven? And what will there be in heaven? I'm going to give you five things that will be in heaven and five things that won't be in heaven so that we get a picture of what heaven is. I want to try to answer that question, at least so that we begin to prick our imagination so that we can be most earthly good. So let's talk about the question, what is heaven? Here's the first thing that we see as we begin reading this. Heaven is eternal. The one we're talking about in Revelation is an eternal heaven, which is different from the past or present heaven. That's why John said, and I saw a new heaven. Now make sure you catch this, because there's a lot of Christ followers that don't even understand this. Do you realize that there was a past heaven, there is a present heaven, and there will be a future or eternal heaven? Did you know that? Let me describe them to you. See, the past heaven is where Jesus Christ lived in heaven with God the Father and God the Spirit, three in one, we call it the Trinity, before he came to this earth, before he came and lived, before he was born of a virgin, before he died on the cross, before he was resurrected from the grave. Jesus does not show up in Matthew chapter 1. Jesus shows up in the very beginning of time. And Jesus is in heaven. And see, and oftentimes when we think of heaven, we think of looking up to the sky, and certainly that's where it's at. I mean, Psalm says that we lift up our eyes to the heavens and see God. See, there is a past. There is also a present heaven. Because after Jesus came onto this earth, and after he walked in the same shoes that you did and was tempted just like you if you're 9, or tempted like you when you're 80, you know that you're still tempted at 80, right? And just like all of that, he went to the cross sinless, and he was crucified and placed in a grave and walked away. And the Bible tells us that he ascended back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father in peace and in power. Do you realize that there is a present heaven where if you have family members that have passed away who are believers, they are there? And I got good news for you. They're alive. They're with him. So if you've lost a spouse, or you've lost a child, or you've lost a friend, it's amazing. See, in the present heaven, it is not some soul sleep. It's an intermediate heaven where the people that have died who are Christ's followers are there with him. In fact, Paul says in Philippians 1, to die is to be with Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from our bodies is to be present, say it with me if you know it, is to be present with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians tells us that we have a hope that we can be with him. Revelation chapter 6 tells us that martyrs, those who die for the faith, for their faith in Jesus Christ, are crying out for justice in this present heaven as they are alive with God. The great news is that there is a present heaven. The better news is that one day in verse 1, we see a new heaven and a new earth, and it'll be eternal. Because Revelation 22:5 tells us it's forever and ever and ever. You see, heaven isn't timeless and changeless. Heaven is where God dwells. God is changeless and timeless. But there was a past heaven, there is a present heaven, and our future is that there is going to be an eternal heaven. That's why John says, I saw a new heaven. Make sense, church? Here's the second thing about heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is real and will descend to earth. It's real and it'll descend to earth. It's not some state of mind. It's not a state of being. It's not some disembodied condition where you're floating around sitting on a cloud by yourself. It's not nirvana. It's not nothingness. It's not a dreamlike state. It's not some intangible, ethereal thing. It's not a feeling. It's a real place. And in Revelation chapter 22, we see there's birds, and or rather there's trees, and there's rivers, and there's roads, and there's homes, and there's streets, and there's eating, and there's most likely animals. I mean, we see that in Revelation chapter 22. John 14 tells us that Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's a real place. I want you to look in verse 2. Here's what it says. I saw a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Heaven is going to be brought down. And some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute, I thought the Bible tells us that we'll be caught up in the air to meet Jesus. We will. We'll be brought up into the air to meet Jesus. And then as he establishes heaven, we'll be brought down to earth. Heaven is coming down to earth from God. It is real. It's as real as you and I are sitting here. In fact, we see that Jesus, after the resurrection, we see that his body was real. People were actually able to touch him. We read that he ate, and yet he had a resurrected body. Get that one around your head for a little bit, right? It's very difficult. But what is heaven? It's real. Here's a third thing. What is heaven? It's a huge city. It's a huge city. I want you to see this as we begin to read in chapter 21. So get your Bibles out. Let's jump down to verse 11, because verse 2 tells us that it's a holy city. It's the New Jerusalem. It's a city. I'm going to start reading in just a second in verse 11. Before I do, let me just say, it's interesting how we have this love-hate relationship with cities, isn't it? I mean, many of us would say, you know, I love visiting New York City. I'm just glad I don't live there, right? Someone will say, you know, I'd love to go to San Francisco. I've been to San Francisco and, you know, to be on the wharf and to see the Golden Gate Bridge. It's an amazing city. I just don't want to live there. I've been to Bangkok. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Singapore. Do you know in Singapore, it is illegal in Singapore for you to bring gum into the country. And if you bring gum into the country and are caught chewing gum, it is a $300 US fine. It is one of the cleanest cities in the world. How many of you remember the Kettering boy that was caned? And right, remember that story that came out in the news? I don't know, several, you know, decade ago or so. It's an amazing thing. And we have this love-hate relationship. And many of us, we love cities, but we also love our space. You know how I know that about you? Because you live in Dayton. See, when we think of cities, we think of noise and pollution and taxis and honking, and we think of crime, and we think of high rises, and we think of all these negative things, and yet we think of the positive things too, about the hustle and the bustle and the relationships and all the people that are there. I love the way Eugene Peterson says it. This is what he says. Heaven is going to be the healing and the reclaiming of the cities that we've experienced. He goes on to mention Enoch, which is the very first city that was created by Cain, a murderer, a city created by a murderer. He goes on to mention Babel, which was a city built to deny God, Jerusalem, a Christ-rejecting city. I want you to see in here, as I read these verses, look at verse 11, and you'll begin to see the symmetry. You'll begin to see that he actually tells us the length and the width and the height and the walls. He tells us about light and fertility in here, about this amazing city, because heaven is going to be a huge city. Verse 11, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 15, the angel who talked with me measured a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia. I actually misquoted this in the last service. It's 1.9 million square miles. It's 1,400 miles. Get your head around that. The city's 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles deep, 1,400 miles tall. That's a big city, right? It goes on. The angel measured the wall using human measurement. It was 144 cubits, which is 200 feet. So the wall is going to be 200 feet thick. It's amazing, this huge wall. Verse 19, the foundations of the city wall were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper and the second sapphire, and on, describing the beauty that we see there in heaven. Jump down to chapter 22, turn the page, flip it in your devices. Verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And it talks about the leaves, and it talks about the healing of the nations. No longer, in verse 3, will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in a city, and His servants will be there. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And this is going to happen in verse 5, forever and ever and ever. It's a huge city. What is heaven? It's a huge city. Here's number 4. What is heaven? It's where God lives and rules. And some of you are like, well, yeah, I knew that part. Well, if we're trying to pull heaven into our lives today, if we are eternal beings, which we are today, and we want to be so earthly-minded, the most earthly-minded, then we need to understand something that's really, really important about the fact that the new heaven, which is eternal, which is real, which is a city where God lives and rules, here's what that means for us. Injustice will be corrected. It means that revenge will be settled. It means that abuse will be reversed. It means that sacrifice will be rewarded, that love will be perfected, and our bodies will be restored. How many of you want a different body? Don't raise your hand. Get your head around that. Next week, we're actually going to talk about what does it look like? What will you look like in heaven? So start getting those ideas and thoughts in your minds. What will you look like? Our bodies will be restored. See, it's where God lives. Here's the last one. What is heaven? It was designed for us. It's designed for you and I to live with Him forever. It's eternal. It'll be real. It'll be us with Him in a city where God lives. See, right now, God is invisible. But there's a day where He will dwell with us. That's incredible. Get your imagination going with the fact that you will be with God forever. See, God not only prepared earth for us, but He prepared heaven for us. Ephesians 1 says that we've been adopted into His family. 1 Timothy 3 says that the church is His family. 1 Peter 1 says the priceless inheritance that you will receive is heaven. In Ephesians, it says that we are the bride. In Hebrews 13, it implies that we are made to last forever. So let me take all of this. What is heaven? Let me take all of this and put it into one phrase that might help us today. And here it is. Eternal heaven is God descending to a sin-ruined earth to heal and restore a new earth and to dwell with men forever. Forever. Isn't that great news? Well, here comes the fun part. Let me give you the fun part. Let me give you 5 things that won't be in heaven and 5 things that will be in heaven. You may want to get your pens out. In fact, go back to chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, and let's look at verse 4. Because verse 4 tells us the one list, and I could give you scripture after scripture on the other list. Let me just mention them to you so that you have them here, all right? What is heaven like? There are 5 things that you won't find in heaven and 5 things that you will find in heaven. Amazing. Let me start with this one here. Here's what you won't find. You won't find sadness in heaven. So He tells us in Revelation 21, there will be no tears. Revelation 7 tells us there are no tears. The psalmist tells us that God captures every tear that you've ever cried in a bottle, so that then when you get to heaven, it can be thrown away, because there is no sadness in heaven. There's nothing for you and I to experience sadness in heaven. Here's what you will find in heaven. You will find yourselves reunited with other believers. I want those of you that have lost loved ones to begin to let your imagination flow. Because I know some of us in this church, we've lost babies. They're with Jesus, alive. We've lost kids. There have been accidents. We've had the C word. I'll get to that in a minute. There's been all kinds of things. I have a grandma and a grandpa, a grandma that I didn't know very well because we lived in Indonesia. I can't wait to see her. And one day I'll see her. It's amazing. I lost a friend in college. He was my buddy. I mean, we grew up together. We were in elementary school together and middle school together. And I can't wait to see Matt. Matt dated my wife, Kathy. So I've got a few things I want to talk to him about. We will be reunited with other believers. Here's what you won't find: death. Now, you probably know that already because we think of physical death, but let me describe death in another way. There won't be death to hope. There won't be death to vision. There won't be death to dreams in your life. There is no death in heaven. There's no death physically or no death to the things that we have on the inside. No death at all. But here's what you will find: rest. There'll be rest. See, during the Easter season, I see lots of families that go on spring break. And, of course, my kids, it's a struggle because my kids, you know, during Easter, it's a busy season for me, so we don't often get a spring break. And I watch families come back, and it's awesome. I'm so glad for them. I look in their eyes, and I see this bit of rest because they've been in, you know, Florida, and they got a little sun, and they've had time away, mindless, you know, lack of responsibility, sitting on the beaches and so forth. And then it's just gone in 2 days anyway. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, they've rested for a week, and we're going to be resting for the rest of our life, for eternity. But it doesn't stop there. See, here's what you won't have: sickness. There won't be back problems. There won't be knee problems. There won't be C, cancer. That'll be gone. There won't be diseases. There won't be Ebola. There won't be that thing that you have in your life that's that nagging physical thing. There's no such thing as sickness at all. For those of you that sit at a bed and help your mother or father, or for you that take care of a child, you need to bring heaven into your reality so that you can have the most earthly good, recognizing that all that you do now is going to be rewarded in heaven because there is no sickness at all. Here's what you will find: celebration. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." And so come on, let's have a celebration. Maybe another word to put that is, let's party, right? Let's party. Let's get together and have a great time together because that's what heaven is about. Here's what you won't find. You won't find suffering. There will be no more suffering. You won't have to experience any suffering at all. In heaven, there is no suffering of any kind. Here's what you will find. You will find rewards. This is really important. Make sure you get this down. These are the rewards that you can find in heaven. You will be rewarded in heaven for many, many different things. You will be rewarded for your attitudes. You will be rewarded for your actions. You will be rewarded for your words, for your service, for your generosity, for your sacrifice, for not giving up, for loving your enemies, for bringing others to Jesus, for putting up with persecution, giving a cup of cold water to somebody who needs it. You will be rewarded for that in heaven. That's incredible. That's what you will find in heaven. Lastly, you won't find sin. You won't find it. Here's what I love about this. I will never, ever be tempted in heaven. You will never be tempted in heaven. I mean, that alone right there, isn't that great? Isn't that great news? You will never face another temptation because there is no sin. But here's what you will find: responsibilities. Do you realize that the Bible tells you that the way you live your life today will determine the rewards and the responsibilities that you have in heaven? You will have great responsibility that you will love, you will enjoy them because of heaven. Let me put it this way. What does heaven make us live? How does heaven, rather, make us live? Three things. It gives us reasons for living well. Gives you a reason to live your life well today. In your attitudes and actions and the things that you say and all the different things. Secondly, it gives us strength for earthly good. So it gives you good reasons and it gives you good strength. And thirdly, it gives you goals that go beyond earthly goals. Realize that what you're doing now is not because you're measuring up the end of your life. You're doing things because of heaven in your life. Pull heaven into your present because that way then you'll be the most earthly good. I'll end with this. You see, if God is not part of your daily thoughts, then you will have no interest in heaven. That's why it's so important to spend time with God. That's why we ask you to crack open your Bible in the course of a week. That's why we ask you to get into a small group, because as you have thoughts of God, the realities of heaven will be there for you. It may change the way you and I live our lives. Bow with me in prayer. God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to study and we have the opportunity to ask these questions. And I pray, God, that as we go through this next 7 weeks, that you would help us to live our lives, that we would be the most earthly good because of a heaven that's awaiting us, an eternal, real, a city where we'll live with you and experience so many great things. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.